So you probably already caught that my voice is not the best this morning. I doubt that very many people would be upset that the sermon will be quite brief today. Last evening, I was chatting with Brian. They were on their way home from visiting friends. So I called Brian on the cell phone. They were going to be coming for lunch today. And I said, I'm not sure it's a good idea with my voice. I don't want the kids to pick up anything. And I heard Aiden in the background, our grandson, saying, what's wrong with Pappy? And Brian said, well, Pappy can't speak. And he said, so what's wrong with that? So they let you know where we're at. Anyway, we're delighted to have you with us. As you can tell, a lot of people are away today. We're delighted to have you. It's nice to see friends here today as well. We always just like to take a couple of moments to welcome one another. And why don't you go ahead and do that at this time. Being with us today, just a reminder of what we're doing. We started a while back that we're on a scriptural journey that hopefully by a year from now, we will have touched on every single book in the Bible. I've never done that before in the sense of preaching the entire Bible. We're not doing it in chronological order, but we're just going through on this journey so that at the end of it, we will have touched on every single book in the Scriptures. And it's been fun looking at various books that we don't preach from very often. I mean, you can't really preach a 13-week series, I suppose, on some of the tiny little books that we've looked at, the book of Philemon, but maybe you can. And this wonderful book that we're going to touch on today, the book of Ruth, it's a wonderful living demonstration of the kingdom of God. Because it's through Ruth, Matthew lists her in his genealogy, that Jesus comes. But Ruth was not a Jewish person. She did not belong to the house of Israel. And it's just a reminder that the kingdom of God is much larger than many of us have ever thought. That even in Old Testament times, when it's so important to trace your bloodline back to Israel, back to Jacob, and back to Abraham, that God was always using Gentile people. And this morning we touched at this in our first service, how many Gentiles God used in welcoming them into his work, into God's kingdom himself, whether it be Nebuchadnezzar, whether it be Job, whether it be Naaman, and certainly is the story of Ruth. And it's through her that the bloodline of Jesus is kept going. It's a wonderful story. And we're going to touch on this today, but it's just a reminder of how large the kingdom of God is. And I was thinking about the statement that Jesus made in Luke chapter 13, when he himself talks about the Gentiles being part of God's kingdom, when he said, people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will take their seat at the feast of the kingdom of God. And that later on in Revelation, there's this description of the kingdom of God where John sees under the great throne, under the altar, such a multitude of people that no one can count their number. People from every nation, every tribe, and every language. Excuse me. So the story of Ruth, it's a very brief book. And if you wanted to just pick it up this afternoon or whenever and read it. It's only four chapters, some 80 verses at length. But it's a beautiful, beautiful story of two women who totally committed themselves to each other. And just a real quick recap of the story is that living in Bethlehem is this lovely family, Elimelech and Naomi. And they have two sons. But there's a famine going on, and so they decide that it's time for them to go, and they go into this foreign land of Moab. And in Moab, Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons settle down, and their two sons marry Moabite women. One is Orpah. I always want to call her Oprah, but it's Orpah. and then the other, of course, is Ruth. And then as life has it, disaster comes. Within a 10-year period, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. And in that same 10-year period, Orpah's husband dies, and Ruth's husband dies. And so you have three women living in Moab, and Naomi says, I have nothing to help my daughter-in-laws with. And she hears through the grapevine that God is now blessing Israel, and food is coming back to Israel. And so she decides to go back to Bethlehem, and she says to her daughters-in-law, don't come with me. I've got nothing to give you. I can't help you in any way. And stay here in your own homeland of Moab. You'll find men to marry, and you'll have your own children, and you just go ahead and stay. But both of the girls, Ruth and Orpah, said, no, we'll go with you. And Naomi says, now, and this is embellishing it a little bit, but when you read the story, you'll know it's not much of an embellishment. But really what Naomi is saying is, no, you need to stay here. I'll go. You stay. And God will bless you. You've been a blessing to me. God will bless you. And so Orpah says, okay, I'm going to stay. But Ruth refuses. And nowhere in the Bible does it indicate that she's not happy in her homeland, that she doesn't enjoy her parents or anything like that. But she said, no, I am dedicated to your welfare. And then she says these most beautiful words that you've all heard. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And your God, my God. And so she leaves her homeland along with Naomi. And Ruth and Naomi make their way back. And you caught the reading today that 10 years ago she had left. Naomi comes back into her hometown, and people go, that can't be Naomi. She doesn't look like her at all. But for those of you who have gone through terrible tragedies and have lived with one after another, I know that you sometimes look in the mirror and you go, is that me? And you look at your picture from maybe years ago and go, wow, I've aged. But there's something about all of that that says you've weathered. It's rained on you. Some storms have come your way. And there's something unique about that, because other people will go through that too. And you have a special gift to be able to come alongside people. And they know, because they've seen you through that storm. And it's a story of that's what the kingdom is all about. It's not waiting until heaven comes, but it's a being a living demonstration of embracing all people in their joys and in their sorrows, being a servant of God. And so you have Naomi and you have Ruth who are trying to get on with their life. And it's a wonderful story that I hope that you'll read maybe even this afternoon. It's self-giving of one another. And there's the story of how are we going to feed ourselves? And it's Ruth that said, well, it's the barley grain that's the harvest is taking place. I'll stay at the very, very back. And if some of you remember from your Old Testament stories that whenever an Israelite was taking the crops off their field, they would leave just a little bit for the poor and the hungry and so forth. And so what Ruth does is she stays way at the back. She asks permission, of course, to do that. And she can take a little bit, enough that it was able to keep Naomi and Ruth alive. And people are watching her. And she's of a marvelous character. And it turns out, and I love the way the Bible says this, as it turns out, and often when you hear that phrase, as it turns out, it was God who was working through this all the time. And so often in our lives, we say things like, well, wasn't that a coincidence? Well, aren't I lucky? And on and on. And often you look back and you go, it's amazing how God is so far ahead of us, and yet he's with us. And he's there all the way through it. And there are times when you go, where is God? He might be quiet, but he's there. And I said this at an earlier service. It just amazes me how even in our, some of us senior years, our relationship with God is still in the works. It's still growing. It's still being processed. And I think of a baby growing in the womb. And I don't know all the science about this, but some of us believe, and I'm a believer in this, that when you're talking to the baby, and I don't know what babies hear inside the womb. Somebody said the other day that really what they hear in the womb is kind of a swishing sound because of the blood and the fluid. I don't know, but I just think that talking to the baby, you want that baby to recognize your voice, and the baby's born, and do they know that voice? I'm thinking that they do. But when a brand new baby is there, and parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and siblings, you're talking to this baby, and there's like no reaction for the first while. And then that baby grows, and they recognize voices. And all of a sudden, it's so fun to watch, isn't it? You can remember this, where they say something. We have no idea what they're saying, but they're just blurting it out. They're just talking. And so there's this dialogue back and forth. When they get old enough to smile and to somehow try to communicate back and forth, but they usually don't until the parent or the loved one speaks, until they get a bit older, and then they're talking to mom and dad or brother and sister, even if no one's talking back to them. And they're talking and they're talking and they're talking, and they're going to keep talking until someone talks back to them. I think that's our relationship with God. For some of us growing up, we're being introduced to God, and we're hearing God's voice through our loved ones, through church, through friends, and then we start developing this relationship. We remember praying to God, and at first we're just praying. We don't even know what we're saying, but we're learning about God, and we're learning that God has always been in our life, even before we were born, and he's always been talking to us. And then we grow in our faith a little bit, and we're talking back and forth. There's dialogue back and forth, and sometimes when we're talking to God, we don't hear him. There is a dark night of the soul. Sometimes there is a solitude, and we wonder, where are you, God? And sometimes it comes in the worst tragedies. But God is so wise, because what we're learning from Scripture more and more is, don't give up. Don't stop talking to me. Keep talking to me. Keep talking to me. Keep talking to me. And even in the times when we say to God, where are you? Why won't you talk to me? After a while, sometimes a long while, you hear a whisper, and that's all it takes. He's still there. And then the dialogue continues. Because really, it's a description of all of our lives. Good times, bad, happy dialogue, sad dialogue, times of great presence, time of being alone. It's the story unfolding that is called the kingdom of God. How do we live in this kingdom of God? It's an embracing of all things that come our way, good or bad. And so even in this tragedy, you have Ruth in the background sowing, taking care, getting the grain. And this man whose name is Boaz, who is actually a relative of theirs. And you can finish reading the story where Boaz, who was an unmarried man and is what's called a kinsman redeemer, part of the family, where he has the opportunity to take over that family if he chooses. And in that story, it's interesting how God works. There is another kinsman redeemer who is closer in the family line. And Boaz says to him, you can take that family if you will. And he says, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. And Boaz says, in the day that you do that, Ruth becomes your wife. And he goes, I don't think I'm going to do that. I've got a wife. I don't think I'm going to do that. And so Boaz, who is unmarried, he accepts all of the family. And Boaz, being older, and Ruth have a child. And that child becomes the grandpa of David. And it's through David's lineage that Jesus comes. I suppose all of us can trace our ancestry all the way back to the beginning. And I close this today by saying, the end of Ruth's story, we don't know, except the genealogy. And I leave the story for us to say, I picture all of us under that scripture in Revelation 7, I think it's around verse 9, where John looks under the altar and he sees, I see such a multitude of people that no one can count the number, from every nation, every tribe, every language. And that mirrors what Jesus said, that people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will take their seat at the feast of the kingdom of God. And that feast is prepared for us later on in the Revelation, where the wedding supper has begun, to sit down someday at the table of God. And maybe you would be fortunate enough, or maybe I would, to introduce yourself to the person beside you. Hi, I'm Don. And she said, I'm Ruth. Oh, I've told your story, Ruth. And she said, no, you just told a little bit. Tell me about your story. And it's a life that continues to unfold. And so I hope as we go through scripture and look at the various books, there's never a period at the end of it, is it? It's the lives that continue on, just like there's no period at the end of ours. It's the dialogue that just keeps happening. Amen.